This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, you're listening to episode 4 of Queercast, Singapore's only LGBT podcast. Hi everyone, and you're listening to another episode of Queercast, and we have with us today Wendy Ng, director of Two Queens. And we're so excited to have her on the show because we are going to be spilling the tea. We're going to be throwing some shade about the LGBTQ nightlife scene here in Singapore. Now, of course, we have to say hello to Wendy. Hi Wendy.
Hi, this is Wendy here. Hello Ian, thanks for having us on board.
No problem. Now, for those listeners out there, maybe some of these new gays, little baby gays out there who haven't heard of Two Queens, maybe you can give a quick overview of what Two Queens is about.
Two Queens, basically, it's an all-girls party organizer. Mm-hmm. So we specialize in creating parties, and that's what we've been doing for the last 15 years. We used to organize parties every week in Singapore. Mm-hmm. So girls had a place to go every Thursday night. We had a very long partnership at Play, and that was the most memorable part of Two Queens.
Yeah. Now, for those of you who might be new to the podcast or new to the scene, Play used to be this wonderful, beautiful club near Tanjung Pagar. It was a great place to go. Unfortunately, it's closed down, but that's just the way the cookie crumbles. Now, Wendy, maybe you could tell us a little bit about, you know, what's the history behind Two Queens? Because we were talking earlier and you said that this year is the 10th anniversary of the Pride Party. So maybe talk to us a little bit about, you know, what, how did Two Queens come about, and, you know, what's the Pride Party all about?
Okay, so for Two Queens, we've always wanted a place for the community where the girls could actually have a place to go and party, to meet people, you know, to be with their friends, not always have to be a sleazy thing, I think generally just out there to have fun. The founder believes in creating a safe space where girls can actually go. So our parties have always been an identity of it being an all-girls party. We create a lot of community competitions. You know, mm-hmm. we have our dance competitions. We've got our Androhan competitions. And that has always been the highlight of what we do in the last 15 years.
Okay, now, Androhan, oh gosh, that brings me back. Androhan was an amazing event. I remember I went for a few back when it first started, and I was just seeing these gorgeous, handsome girls up on stage, and suddenly I'm like questioning my sexuality a little bit because I'm like, damn, she's very handsome, but I'm like, ooh, she's a girl, but at the same time, ooh, but she's very handsome, like, oof. Okay, so what would you say are sort of like, you know, the major milestones? What are the things that you feel most proud of about Two Queens?
I think the most consistent part of Two Queens has always been that identity of being a party organizer. Mm-hmm. And from how we organize our parties, I think it's the content that comes along with it. So we've always made an effort to reach out to the community by organizing like various competitions, mm-hmm. where girls can showcase their talents. For example, like the Andrew Hunt, we came up with the idea of having an Andrew competition because I think in the past it's always been very stereotypical where if you were gay, the girls had either to be a femme or a butch. Mm-hmm. You know, but you know, with times, I think it's no longer so straightforward. Mm-hmm. And Andro really could be, you could be anyone that you wanted to be. It's really your own identity. Mm-hmm. That's why we created an Andro competition where girls could really be themselves. They could be femme, they could be a bit more on the masculine side, but technically you're Andro. Yeah. You know, because you're really who you are.
Yeah, totally agree. You know, and I talk to some of my straight friends, right? And, you know, sometimes they say, oh, you know, why is partying such a big thing in the LGBT community? You know, it's just fun and, you know, fun and frivolity. But if you ask me, I personally feel that there is such an important point behind partying when you're gay, when you're lesbian, when you're a minority, because it's really such a celebration of life. You know, yeah. to be able to just sort of, you know, put on a wig, put on a pair of heels, and go out and dance and party. I mean, for girls, you know, dress up in a suit and go and have fun. Now, what do you think? Do you think that partying is, or at least, you know, party spaces are important to the LGBT community?
I think it's extremely important, but I don't think it just pertains to the LGBT community, I think it's a very big part of your growing up years. Mm. I mean, at any one point, I'm sure people would have gone out to party. Mm-hmm. Partying could be a form of escapism, or it could really be just for the music. Mm-hmm. It could be for your friends. You know, you need to go out there to meet people. You need to go out there to have your celebrations. And a lot of your memories would then have been from your party times, you know, mm-hmm. your days of partying. I mean, for us, of course, there's always something deeper to that. Mm-hmm. We wanted people to have a safe place where they could go and be with their friends, be themselves, and really just have a good time. And of course, a safe space to actually meet people.
Okay.
Like-minded, yeah.
Yeah. Now, did you feel that it was important to create a space specifically for the ladies, for the girls?
Definitely. I mean, I guess being gay, I would definitely want to go out there and be in an environment where I don't have to be questioned about my sexuality, or, like, you know, to be awkward with, you know, straight men looking mm-hmm. at us. It was always nice to be able to go to this place where you know that, you know, people that you're going to meet are like-minded. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just easier, you know, to kind of have something happen from there.
Yes, because sometimes you go to a regular bar and you see someone cute and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
But then you don't know, aren't they? Then you have to try to play that game, like, look at the shoes, see the haircut, see the baju, listen to what they're talking about. Okay, so, alright. So, for those who have never attended a white party, what can they expect?
Yeah, okay. So the white party, it's really our annual event. We are into our 10th year. So this year, we celebrate our 10th anniversary. We started the white party because we wanted a regional event being held in Singapore. Mm-hmm. And white party, being a beach party, we've enjoyed having girls that come from our neighbouring countries, mm-hmm. like a lot of girls from Hong Kong, from Taiwan, from Malaysia, as well as from Thailand, they will actually come to attend the white party. Mm-hmm. It's and usually we would also have a very good lineup in terms of DJs. We would kind of invite international DJs to come and perform.
Okay.
Yeah. So every year we try to up our programming a little bit a little bit. So we've enjoyed you know, the likes of Ruby Rose. She's actually been our special guest 2 years ago at our white party as well.
Wow! Yeah. Did you actually get a chance to meet Ruby Rose?
We did.
Still, what is she like in real life? Because she seems to be such a larger than life kind of personality.
She is actually quite quiet in real life, but she really appreciates her fans. I think that's something that you see. Mm-hmm. Like, she takes the time to talk to every one of them. You know, she would hug everyone who came for the meet and greet. Mm-hmm. She's quite quiet, actually. And you can see that she ponders a lot about things, I mean, we really appreciate the fact that she actually came to Singapore to do this with us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now your 10th anniversary, the party, I'm sure it's going to be a big celebration, right? So, could you give us a little sneak peek at what might be some of the highlights for the upcoming party?
Yes. We were very fortunate. We managed to. We invited Taryn Manin from Orange is the New Black.
Wow.
She's actually going to headline our white party this year, and we're really, really excited about it. We've also got DJ Molly from New Zealand, mm-hmm. as well as Lily Street from Australia, well as our very own Grace Wee from Singapore. So we have actually 4 DJs, you know, in the lineup this year.
Okay. Yeah. Alright, so give us a little bit of details, like where can people get the tickets and all that?
Yeah, the white party is actually going to be held at Ola Beach Club. That's mm-hmm. at Siloso Beach in Sentosa. Mm-hmm. Tickets are at $58. You can actually buy them online. You just need to search Two Queens Party on Facebook, and then you get just click on the link to buy your tickets.
Okay, cool. That's so exciting. All right. So, someone's shouting outside the window. Never mind. So we're just going to zoom out a little bit and just talk about, you know, party scene in Singapore as a whole. Now, you've been in this business for over a decade. Is it safe to say? I know.
It is.
I know. Chubby, I'll say the same thing. You know, whenever I talk to, like, some of like, you know, people who have come into the community rather recently, and I say, oh yeah, you know, Mox was great, blah blah blah. And then we're like, what? What's Mox? I'm like, oh shit, I'm actually so old that they don't know what Mox is. You know? And like all these amazing bars that we grew up with, and these spaces and all these events. Now, how would you say that the party scene has changed, let's say, over the last 10 years? Because if you were to ask me, I think about, 10 years ago, the party scene was pretty happening. It was like, you know, like you said, there were weekly parties for the girls. For the guys, we had like Sunday night parties, we had James, we had at least 2 to 3 clubs, at least, you know, 3 to 4 bars. Mm. And then it kind of dwindled. And then now, I feel there's a bit of renaissance happening because suddenly we're seeing, you know, new physical space starting to pop up here and there. But what are your thoughts?
I mean, the landscape in terms of the partying scene has definitely changed. Like, girls no longer require a dedicated space for them to party. I think it's also the evolution of Thai clubs in Singapore.
Really?
Yes,
Thai clubs?
Thai clubs. I think a lot of the girls actually go to the Thai clubs in Singapore.
Oh.
I mean, they open late, you know, the entertainment is great, you've got good music, there are stage shows.
That's true.
And I mean, you're still with your friends in that sense. So in a way, it's kind of harder to draw a crowd to come to a dedicated space. I'm not sure if that's about loyalty, or I'm not sure if that's actually about the community at all. I think it's just also how communication is so different now as well. You know, everyone's online, everyone's, you know, communicating in a different way. You don't really need to be in a physical space to communicate with somebody. So I think that's also kind of affected how people are partying in Singapore.
That's interesting. I guess maybe you're right. I mean, one of the things that I always thought was very interesting is, like, you know, we used to go to bars and meet people and, you know, make that eye contact, like, will she, won't she, smile, look up again.
Yeah.
But now with, like, you know, well, the game always, we've got like Grindr, Jax, Tinder, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Ladies have Tinder and, is there a lady version of Grindr?
There is, but there isn't a dedicated app. Actually, Two Queens created an app.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we created a social app. You know, it's called Two Queens Social. So basically, it's actually for girls to meet other girls.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's like a Tinder thing where you swipe left, swipe right, or
sort of.
All right, we're gonna take a really short little break, and we're gonna come back just after these messages.
Hey, thanks for listening to Queercast. If you want to stay updated on new episodes or just want to find out about what's happening in the community, follow us on Facebook or Instagram. Look for queercast.sg.
And we are back. And for those of you who just tuned in, which I doubt you did, I'm here with Wendy, director of Two Queens. Now, during the break, we had a very interesting conversation, which we're going to, you know, talk about again. And we were actually talking about, you know, the need to create spaces. You know, there's kind of a place where all the colours of the rainbow, the LGBTQ plus, all the letters can come together as a community as a whole.
Yeah.
But there's also sort of like a need to come together in our sub-tribes, you know?
Yeah.
The gay boys, the gay girls. So, you know, I mean, we're just talking about, like, back then, okay, 10 years ago, you know, back then, 10 years ago, there used to be sort of a bit of a fear, like, you know, when the guys hang out together, we're like, ooh, then the girls come and we're like, oh, the girls are here, that's strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, do you think that's changed? Do you think it's a little better now?
Yeah, I definitely think it's a lot better now. I think in the past, it always was a little segregated, even within the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
I think boys only wanted to party with boys and girls only wanted to party with girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say that I think play played a very big part, you know, in bridging that. Because we had a very weekly routine of having the girls parties on a Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And once they found that safe space to go to, you know, the girls came on every other night where the boys were there too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think boys also discovered that Thursday nights were the girls' nights. And I think they started coming with their girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone started to be more comfortable, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
In that sense.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, there was always the misconceptions and the stereotype back then where, like, you know, girls don't know how to have fun, it's all just the drama, you know. And then suddenly, like, people started, like, seeing each other's trying to be like, hey, actually they're quite fun to hang out with, Then, you know, and also back then, I remember last time, like, I was talking to, like, my lesbian girlfriends, and like, yeah, the butchers will hang out at one corner, I'm probably going to get some of the names wrong, but, like, the lipstick lesbians will hang out at one corner, and then they'll give me this rundown of, like, oh, here are the different types of lesbians you're going to look out for. You see that one there? That's a starfish. And I'm like, what the hell is a starfish? And they say, oh, you know, it's lie down, like a starfish, and then that's it. Then everything, the girlfriend going, I'm like, oh, that's kind of sad and a bit selfish. Selfish.
Yeah. No, I think girls are also a bit more shy, and you know, they probably tend to, I mean, in a party space, they're probably just standing at a table, drinking with their friends. They're not really making any moves.
Right.
Yeah, and I think it takes a lot more drinks to get something out of a girl than, you know, to get a boy to come out and, you know,
show
their talents.
Yeah, you, that's true. Like, give tequila to a dancing queen and she's up on stage. She's like, she's gyrating away.
Yeah.
You know, let's be a little bit more shy. It's a little bit more coaxing.
We are very shy, yeah.
Sorry, I'm just laughing because all the nonsense that went down like back in the days. Alright, so what would you say are like one of your fondest memories of those parties that you used to throw?
That's for 5 years. My greatest memory is really about being there. I don't think there was a particular time, you know, or space during that 5 years, but I'm glad, you know, to really meet the people that I've met, you know, through the years of being there, and even the team that has worked with me through the 5 years. Those were really the best times of my life.
Okay.
Being able to create a space for people and really, I think a lot of my growing up years was spent there, even though we were working.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing how people enjoy themselves, mm-hmm. And actually, I really do miss play. I miss having two queens being at play. I miss the times we had, you know, when we had full house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just watching the girls, you know, being there is something that I really miss. We don't have that in Singapore anymore.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, not yet. Hopefully, yeah. I don't know. I feel that there's a bit of a renaissance happening, if you will.
Yeah, you were saying that. I do agree. I think that it seems like it's that we are looking at a new change again.
Mm-hmm.
And even ourselves, I think we are hoping to create another space for the girls.
Mm-hmm.
We've never stopped partying, we've never stopped creating parties.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we've stopped our weekly parties, we are still doing parties, you know, maybe like 4 to 5 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, we are also in discussions in coming back to do monthly parties.
Yeah.
And even like a little bar that's dedicated to the girls.
Oh,
yeah.
That wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes. Sometimes again, the straight people were like, oh, you know, it's just party and, you know, you're just there to have like one night friend and that's it. But honestly, I mean, you know, and I'm sure you'll agree that sometimes party, I mean, yes, there's a certain level of like, how well can you know a person like when you're dancing in the club. But at the same time, I have like some lifelong friendships that I've actually made from the party itself.
Mm-hmm.
And and like, it's not even just a friendship. Sometimes it's just knowing that there's other people out there who are like you and seeing like that many people all in one space, like, oh my god, we exist.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I mean, I think you agree as well, like, I think I grew up in Tanjung Pagar a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Me too.
Yeah. Like 18, well, maybe a bit before 18, but I'm talking about you sort of grew up here and it really does shape your worldview a little bit when you find other people like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so aside from party, what do you think are some of the other challenges or issues that, you know, gay ladies, lesbians are facing sort of now in Singapore?
I realise that girls are kind of like looking more into how they can actually build a family in Singapore.
Okay.
This is a topic that was never really discussed. I think there was always this stigma that as long as you're gay, you know, you don't really think about your future.
Mm.
I mean, of course, you have your future with your partner, and that was really about it. But right now, I think it's really how communication has crossed, you know, a certain form. It is now possible in Singapore to basically have your own family.
Yeah.
Girls are learning how to you know, start a family.
Mm-hmm.
Together.
Mm-hmm.
Girls are also questioning about their legal rights, you know, how to protect themselves, and also obviously like how to take care of yourself and your partner.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot more awareness now in that sense, so it's no longer just about partying and then going home.
Yeah, get moving on to the next relationship.
I think you're finally kind of like just really thinking about your life 10 years ahead.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think girls in their 20s are starting to question that a lot earlier than in the past. Yeah,
that's an interesting thought. I mean, you know, I think you're right. It used to be the case of like, okay, what's your life plan? Hit 35, move in with partner, get X number of cats.
All dogs,
you know, depending on your pet preference.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right. People are sort of asking the harder questions earlier. Yeah. Yeah. So what do you hope to see change as a community and in the party scene in let's say in the next 5 years?
I think as a community, I share the vision as Pink Dot. Mm-hmm. I'm very grateful for the social movement that I've actually started, and I think it's important to raise awareness among people who are not in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's about education. It's about educating the public, you know, about what is it like being in the community, and
mm-hmm.
teaching people not to fear and not to hate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I think everyone should work towards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the party scene, I really hope that we can keep partying. I mean, as it's really as simple as it is. I think that people shouldn't just be at home.
Mm-hmm.
You should really come out and discover the places and the people.
Mm-hmm.
Search for your own identity.
Yeah.
You know, and you will figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, well, at least my personal belief, in the LGBT community, because of our shared heritage, partying is actually almost a form of activism in a way.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's about sort of really getting out there.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's a certain comfort about sort of staying home, logging into the chat room, but it's so different when you're actually going, making the effort to go to a physical space and getting yourself literally immersed, like you say, like the sea of lesbians.
Yeah.
Which is so, it's a very funny method.
No, I mean, that's totally true. As a party organizer, mm-hmm. Two Queens Asia was never really taken seriously, you know, by some groups in the community, and because we were seen more as a party group and all that.
Right.
But in that sense, I think we were never doing this because of the money.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it's a commercial thing to party, but we whatever that we made, we plonk it back, you know, into content and what
mm-hmm.
we could provide for people.
Yeah.
What we really wanted was to create a space for people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being in the entertainment industry, you know, personally for all of us, that was the best that we did.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot of lesbian couples out there who owe you and your team, you know, a debt of gratitude for introducing them to your girlfriend and all that. So I'm sure you started many relationships.
I hope it lasted. Yeah.
Okay, so just to start to wrap things up. So what can people look forward to in Two Queens for the rest of the year? What parties, what events? You have an app, I did not know that. That's amazing.
We are working towards having regular parties again. I think
mm-hmm.
that's something that we are working on quietly on the side,
mm-hmm.
and we hope to announce within the next 2 to 3 months.
Okay.
And we are also looking at having a dedicated space, whether is it a karaoke bar or just a bar. That's something that we hope to have live, you know, before the end of the year as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do lesbians sing at karaoke bars?
Lesbians generally like to sing sad love songs.
Oh, sad love songs.
Yeah, it's a bit more expressive, doesn't actually mean how they feel at that point in time, but even I like to sing that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alright, so where can people go to find more information? Like how do they connect with you and stay updated?
Please connect with us on our Facebook page. That's actually where we're most active.
Mm-hmm.
Just search Two Queens, you will find us there.
Okay.
All our information's on our Facebook page. You can leave us messages, we reply really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually hope to see you at a white party, which is on the 20th
of May. And where can they get the tickets?
Get it online or basically at our outlets at Club Street, at Fry Bistro or Bar Naked.
Okay. Alright. And of course, you will put all the links in the description box somewhere on wherever you're going to be listening to.
Right.
And you can just click and you can link all the information. You can find it there. Anyway, thank you so much, Wendy, for
thank
coming
you,
on the
Ian.
Show.
Thank you so much.
And you've been listening to QueerCast. Bye!
Bye!
This episode of QueerCast was possible thanks to the support of Joy 94.9 in Melbourne, Australia's only LGBTI radio station who hosts our podcast. Keep queer voices on air and on podcast by becoming a member today at joy.org.au. We also have to thank our community collaborator, Uga Chaga, a non-profit counselling and personal development organisation for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and questioning individuals. They do incredible work for the community and you can help them continue their good work by donating. Visit www.ugachaga.com. Lastly, we want to say thank you to you, our listeners. And if you want to stay updated on new episodes or have an early sneak peek for future guests, follow us on Facebook or Instagram. Links to all our social media handles and our partners can be found in the description. Thanks, and we love you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.